When, if we do move into a house together, which hopefully will be the case, is Jake going to be drinking during recordings or before recordings?
I feel like he should.
I don't know why I was waiting for James to answer. He doesn't get to pick. Depends when we do it. If we're doing it on like a Wednesday, then probably not. If we're doing it on a Friday or a Saturday, then yeah, absolutely.
I feel like if me and Ed are working, we have to do it on a Friday, Saturday.
We could move... Yeah. Well, I mean, I would be quite happy with any day, really, but...
I don't know. I'd happily do it on a fucking Monday at this rate.
alcoholism.
It's great.
Yeah, speaking of, are you gonna do your thing?
I think that was the smoothest transition we've ever done.
Well, you've ruined it now.
Nah, I haven't. No, I haven't. Because this week on What Is James Drinking is...
I feel like the name changes every time.
No, it's been the same. It's been quite consistent, actually. Which I'm surprised at, basing on, like...
I think it involves James drinking. I don't think it was called What Is James Drinking.
That's close enough.
I don't know.
So, this week... is basically one of my own concoctions that I made kind of on a whim when looking for kind of like a semi-tame drink to pitch. But it's one part vodka, two parts dark fruit, and then two parts lemonade as well. And I'll be honest, it is pretty fucking good.
That's more alcohol than mixer.
Just.
This is, interestingly, like a weakened version of saying that you drank in second year.
Yeah.
You've added lemonade. Is this a character growth? Yeah.
I'll be honest, though, the lemonade actually makes the drink. Like, I used to drink vodka dark fruits as kind of like a quick pre-drink to going out. But the lemonade actually makes it, like... I don't know how to describe it. It's quite...
fizzy and lemony?
No, because dark fruits is quite strong in terms of like... Like, for example, if you were to have like a vodka blackcurrant, for example, it wouldn't be as strong as like a dark fruits. Because dark fruits is quite strong squash-wise. Whereas you add the lemonade and it kind of like fizzes it out a bit.
Well, I mean, I did have that once and it was horrible. No, it wasn't. It was cranberry, I think.
But even a vodka cranberry, like, it's not as strong as a dark fruits, flavour-wise. But the lemonade kind of like filters it out a bit and it tastes more like a cocktail. And it is really easy to drink, but I would definitely recommend it more as like a day drink rather than like a trying to go out drink, if you get what I mean.
I think it's worth saying that the podcast as a whole doesn't endorse day drinking.
Nah, I mean, we can vote on it. I know where my vote's going.
I think we know what the outcome of that vote will be.
Yeah, even if all three of us individually agree with something, the podcast doesn't, because it's an entity above ourselves.
Oh, we're doing the whole, like, legal, like, separate entity bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay.
This podcast is a vehicle for laundered money and political donations.
Oh, yeah, this podcast does not endorse this drink whatsoever. It is verging on illegal. So definitely don't make it, and we definitely didn't share the recipe of it.
No, but if we're asking James's opinions, not the podcast's.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. It's like a solid 9.5. It's genuinely been my drink. My go-to drink from now on is this.
Is there a 10 that exists then?
I'll be honest, I'll be close to giving this a 10 just because it is fairly affordable as well. Because for four drinks, right, you will use one can of dark fruits, which is, what, nothing. So you buy a four pack, that's 16 drinks. Yeah, the lemonade it's probably used like a bottle every four drinks ish, probably more. But honestly, it's great. But I recommend it with ice as well.
Is 9.5 the highest you've ever given a drink?
Yeah.
I assume, based on what you've been drinking in the previous weeks, the next highest is like a 4 or something.
I think you gave a 6 once. I think you gave a 6.
No, I gave an 8. I've given quite high ones. Bourbon and Coke got... Well, Woodford Reserve and Coke got high. Got what, 8, 8.5?
Can't
a lot more expensive than this one, though, isn't it?
This one's just expensive. It's kind of like you have to buy all the stuff. That's the main investment. But after that, it could last you weeks.
So if we're thinking about points per pound spent, this isn't just high in terms of points. It's high in terms of...
its value as well.
Being economical as well, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. It's a 9.5.
I think this is a 10, really.
I feel like I can't give a 10 this early because it doesn't leave room for like something exceptional. Like, it just lacks...
Well, you can only give a 10 because it's the high end of the scale. So if it's something better, it can still only be as good as this.
Exactly. Whereas I think there is something that could be done better. I'm not sure what it is, but there is like a little bit of something missing. Like, it's a staple drink. It's not like a... Like, it's a Prosecco, it's not a champagne. It's the best comparison I can make.
But you say you wouldn't drink this before a night out, or would you just make it stronger?
I feel like I'd have to... If I was to drink this before a night out, I'd have to start earlier. And I'll explain why if we want to get into like the intricacies. But basically, the lemonade doesn't mix all throughout the drink. It kind of sits in like the top half of the drink. Even with stirring, it kind of... because I think it's because of the bubbles or something. But so it's like an... So you know how like some drinks you make too strong and you can taste it from the start? This kind of eases you into the drink for the whole glass. So that's why I say it's like a longer drink rather than like a quick getting you drunk drink.
I mean, it's not like nights out even exist at the moment, so...
Exactly, it's just pub shit.
You can't order that at a pub, so what would you order at a pub?
It's definitely enjoyable. You could.
You could order the constituent part.
A dark fruit shandy. You can order a dark fruit shandy and then just order like a couple of shots of vodka and just chuck it in.
I'm interested to see you try this.
I will try it next week. We may have to go to Spoons just to double check it, but I'm down for it. Just because. Exactly. But I think when you start ordering it out, I think it becomes more expensive because you're having to add the vodka shots rather than just buying the bottle, which is obviously cheaper and can last you fucking hell. I just noticed my bottle of vodka and how much has gone from it.
How much has gone from it, James?
I bought it like a week ago.
It wouldn't be that bad if you were drinking with other people. I think for drinking primarily alone...
This has just been from drinking with us.
Tonight?
No, not tonight, but like... Maybe it's like a week and a half ago.
I don't think it's quite...
I remember, because he was talking about his absolute vodka last time.
Oh.
Because he did a voice.
Yeah. I was thinking of... Okay, yeah.
He almost did the voice this time as well.
What voice?
You know the voice you do when you're doing your What's James Drinking.
Yeah, you do a voice.
Is it just my drunk voice?
This is my favourite vodka.
Oh, okay, I know what you mean. Like, the flow of speech is different rather than the actual accent.
Both, I think.
I think it's when I try to be informative rather than, like, just genuinely talking.
I don't think telling people that a vodka is your favourite vodka is necessarily informative. That's quite personal.
I mean, I'll be honest, Absolut Vodka is near enough the same price as Smirnoff at the minute. And has been for quite some time.
That's informative.
Well, see, that's consumer information.
That's great information.
It's not like when you watch Attenborough, he doesn't go, "This is my favourite monkey." He tells you about where it lives and like, what it eats.
It'd be better if he did. If he had a favourite monkey, everybody would love that monkey. And I'm not personally comparing myself to David Attenborough. You did that. So let's not comment on my ego either.
No, no, I was comparing you to the monkey.
I mean, that's a fairly decent comparison.
It's somewhere along the line from... What's the name? Jake Humphries to David Attenborough.
Jake Humphrey.
I think Jesus. I know which end of the scale he's at.
Yeah.
You look a bit like Jake Humphries.
I don't think anything like Jake Humphries.
I look nothing like Jake Humphrey. Should I get some frosted tips and see what happens?
Use one of his classic catchphrases. Like, I think "Let's get to zooking" is one that he used on Bamzuki.
Let's get to zooking.
Yeah, ready, steady, zook. He said that as well.
That genuinely sounds like he's trialled out some catchphrases as like part of a sketch before... No, I can't say that. Yeah, I can. Before fucking Hiroshima, and was just like, "Let's get to nuking." And then he's just got it. Oh, let's just change a letter. And then, "Let's get to zooking." Because he did try comedy, didn't he? He did try comedy, didn't he?
I'm going to need clarification to work out what the hell that meant. Because maybe you can't say it. I don't.
I think he was saying...
Zooking. Zooking sounds like a weird phrase to come up with, is my point.
What's that got to do with Hiroshima?
I think James was holding Jake Humphries responsible for the Manhattan Project and the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And then...
Yeah.
Somehow decided that after Jake Humphries had completed the Manhattan Project, he thought, "Well, I don't want to let these catchphrases go to waste." To develop a show around the word nuke, except change it to zook.
Oh, it was a letter off nuke.
What I meant was, is that he's probably sat there, because he did try some comedy, and he used that term fucking lightly. But... So I think he sat there trying to pitch like some ideas in his head, and he's gone, "Oh, what are some catchphrases that he could have used, like Hiroshima?" Or like, before they've pushed that button, and they've just gone, "Let's get to nuke it," and then just use it for zooking.
What are you talking about?
I think I might remove this anyway, because I don't like it.
Yeah, this can't go in. I don't know what's going on.
It needs removing. But the fact that zooking sounds fucking... Like, even Banzuki, like, why would you use zuki? Like, zooking. Why would you use that as the verb? Why would you not just use the whole name and say Banzuki?
Because it's boring.
I made up those catchphrases. He doesn't say those.
I thought... Oh, he doesn't actually say said- them.
Fucking hell.
Jacob
this is
you! Said...
Right, this is your fault. This is your false information.
Okay, I'm sorry, it's your fault if you interpreted "let's get ready to zook" or "let's get to zooking" as...
It's quite clearly Jake's fault.
I don't think this is on you for not following, because "ready, steady, zook" is clearly a fake version of "ready, steady..."
No, Jake quite clearly said that it was about Jake Humphrey's catchphrases and then said these two phrases. And I thought they were legitimate catchphrases.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that that's what happened, but those are not catchphrases.
Yeah, but Jake Humphries is ridiculous.
Jake Humphries clearly doesn't have any catchphrases.
He's clearly a prick.
Your opinion,
I think we can all agree
Humphries
on that.
Well, we might share that opinion. It doesn't mean that his catchphrase used to be "ready, steady, zook."
Yeah, I'm thinking, if you think that that's a catchphrase that he used, maybe you just haven't seen him on enough stuff. Maybe you didn't watch enough Banzuki to appreciate him.
He did F1 for a bit, didn't he?
He did, yeah, but then Sky got it and they got rid of him.
Yeah. He was fucking shit on that as well.
He was alright. He was better than Eddie Jordan.
No, I like Eddie
Jordan. Let's just talk about like mid-2000s F1 coverage for a bit. That'd be good.
I'm going to be very quiet if that's all we're talking about in this episode.
Do you remember? Remember when they used to play the chain? That was good.
Do they not do that anymore?
No, Sky don't do it. That was just the BBC's coverage. I think the BBC's still do it on their radio coverage, but they
own the license.
TV coverage anymore.
I think they own the license to it.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about it, about music in general.
You don't like that Sky F1 aren't allowed to use the chain?
I like that music licenses are shit like that. That they have exclusive rights to a certain production company to use that song. When in reality, you could just keep it to F1 in general. And just have it as whatever place picked it up. If they wanted to use it or not.
They've got their own theme music now.
I might listen to the music whilst this is going on. Sky.
While she searched for it.
You're not going for another way, are you?
Yes.
Absolutely ridiculous.
When I went through one a moment ago, I needed to do that when James had gone the first time. In my head, I was like, oh, I can't go because James has just gone. Completely different toilet. Completely different house.
Yep. I mean, I'm currently listening to the F1 thing, I think. It doesn't sound like it's going to be as good as the chain. Is it just sort of weird orchestral?
Yeah.
It's quite nice, actually, to be fair, but it's not the chain.
Doesn't quite get you hyped up.
Someone has linked a song in the bomb. I don't know if this is the actual song. It's called Outlands by Daft Punk.
I wouldn't have thought so. Daft Punk did do a sponsorship thing with one of the teams, but I don't think they were involved in it beyond that.
Daft Punk have done a song called Outlands for the Tron Legacy soundtrack that sounds exactly the same as that F1 intro. So whether or not I chose the right one or not, I don't know. But they did do a song that appeared on an F1 thing.
I've just clocked. Yeah, it was good, thanks. But can we just, like, for my own defence here, Jake went first.
Yeah.
Same.
It'll be the only time I go
during
this episode.
It won't be the only time you go. You've already been twice.
I've only been once. During the episode, I've only been once.
Fair enough. Okay. But it won't be one.
It will be.
No chance. He's going to piss himself just to prove a point.
Damn straight.
I do hope so.
Are we explaining what went on with how we've changed? Because I don't think we properly went into what the new system is last episode.
I feel like...
Did you want me to explain?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, whilst we're kind of in a bit of a lull here, I think we should kind of explain how we've differed in the podcast. And we've kind of gone from me pitching ideas to more of like a relaxed styling, to kind of like just talking about topics and coming up with stuff. Mainly because Jake was bullying me so much that I got depressed because he kept shitting on my ideas, which were obviously like golden, like billionaire ideas.
So we had to. That was what made the format work.
No, I'm joking. Basically, I couldn't come up with an idea every week. It became like quite difficult to keep up with, just because 99% of the ideas had already been done.
Bullshit.
So we decide. Well, I think I decided, and everybody else agreed, to kind of move to more relaxed idea. And just kind of come up with ideas, maybe mid-podcast, maybe every now and then. But mainly just talk about, like, shit. Because we're quite... Well, I'm quite cynical anyway. So I will always criticise and then kind of get forced to come up with an idea is the new-ish format.
Well, that clears it up for me. I wasn't aware we were doing ideas as still part of it. I thought we were just getting rid of that entirely and, like, occasionally coming up with stuff.
I mean, they kind of still feature.
Well, they featured in the first one, but
we were changing the format at all. So.
But yeah, there's the kind of principle going forward. Whether or not an idea happens or not is another thing entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But Ed recommended that I drink more, so
I don't know if I did do that.
I'm going to have to do that.
I don't think he did that. I don't remember him doing that.
He definitely did. He said, James, you're boring when you don't drink, so you need to drink more, is what his exact words were. He said, our viewership goes down when you don't drink as much, so you need to drink as heavily as possible.
Goes down from what? 8?
Goes down from 12 to 8, yeah.
Brutal. There's 8 people stuck with us, though.
It's a 33% decrease. It's a big chunk. So, obviously, people want to see me get absolutely wankered.
I feel like this format might be a better idea if we were capable of spitballing about the things that weren't Jake Humphrey's Hitler or Cars, because those are generally, we can start on any topic and it will deviate towards Jake Humphrey's Hitler or Cars.
Right, I have not mentioned Cars once.
I think that, no, it's this is how we get on. It's always been
you two that have come up with it.
No,
every time it's been you two that has mentioned it.
But in fairness, it was relevant.
Your time will come.
Yeah.
I don't talk about Cars. As in, like, the show, I don't talk about it at all. It's only until you two mention it.
What else can we talk about? There's not much else that goes on in the world, really.
I feel like it should have some kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that we don't end up talking about either things from our personal lives which we then have to cut out, or the things that we've talked about in previous podcasts, or things that are controversial. This is mainly directed at James. Things that are controversial which we have to cut out to, you know, protect your future employability.
That's a good shout. I think as long as we talk about a singular topic at some point, I think it's all right. Like, at least it can then kind of filter into Ed deciding on a logo. Well, Ed deciding on something to add to the thumbnails and stuff like that. As long as we come up with, like, a solid point per thing or discuss, like, a specific topic,
something it'd be fine. I saw on a podcast a while ago, which I think we should steal, is the three people on that would every week have a headline that they'd seen that was somehow amusing. Like the things that you occasionally see where it's like, I don't know, monkey steals a car or something. You know, those stupid headlines. And then just talk about that for a bit.
Are you feeling ballsy enough to name a newspaper?
Probably like the Star, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's probably a good shout, to be fair.
Well, James actually did come up with a similar idea.
Yeah, I think when we first started, like, coming up with the idea of a podcast, the idea of talking about, like, relevant events came up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's quite clear to say that I don't read.
I can't read, in fact.
Exactly. But, like, I'm fine doing that.
Not reading.
I'm fine doing it. As long as it's... Yeah, exactly. No, like, I don't mind looking out for headlines and stuff and doing it based off that. Because that could actually work quite well.
There has to be some sort of thing to it. There'd have to be humour in the headline or humour in the story. We can't talk about... Well, one, we can't talk about, like, the G7 meeting and make that amusing. Two, we can't talk about tragic events because that's not funny.
They're not funny, no.
It's not funny.
They're tragic.
No. Yeah.
Oh, James, I think James is actually starting crying at the thought of tragic events.
Oh.
I am. It's quite, like, distressing.
It's okay, James. You don't have to talk. Just have a minute to yourself.
It is weird that a laugh and a cry sound so similar, isn't it? Like, there are times that I've heard someone in another room laughing, and I've been like, do I even go in? Because they sound like they're having a terrible time in there. And then I walk in, and they'll just be, like, pissing themselves. I'm like, oh. Don't know why they sound the same. James is really crying now.
I think a lot of emotions kind of back onto each other, and it's just like, it's quite distressing, if I'm totally honest.
How are you laughing this hard about the concept of tragedy? We haven't named one.
I'm not laughing. I'm quite upset.
You can't see his face. Yes. I think you should get into acting, James. That's actually quite good.
I will take a screen grab, and you make it the thumbnail of the goddamn video, because he's pissing himself.
I'm not pissing myself at Ed's reaction. I'll be honest, though, I would be great at acting.
Have you ever done any, like...
minus, like, some edits.
Yeah, what... Have you done acting with, like, thingy?
I don't know. Like, I make a lot of, like... Like, when people, like, say, like, oh, your dad's a bellend, I would, like, pretend to cry and be like, I don't know my dad, is, like, my go-to. And that's quite convincing sometimes.
That is tragic, actually. Yeah. What, have you done any acting, like, presumably you would have done something in school productions?
Oh, no. I was never that ballsy. I think the closest thing I ever got to was reading a poem in, like, year 9.
Well, yeah, but and I'll be honest, sure it was... Did stuff.
Nah, yeah. Maybe, like, in, like, the performance and shit, but never, like, a leading role or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember reading a poem in, like, year 9, and I'd spent ages on this poem, and, like, it was, like, a task, it was, like, a homework or something, and they were expecting, like, a 4-line poem or some shit. But I wrote, like, a multiple verse poem about this girl that I fancied that I'd kind of had a bit of a thing with. And she started, like, going out with one of my best friends. And I wrote this fucking poem about a tree and about how I was, like, hanging on the edge of a cliff. Like, as a metaphor for how I felt about her and stuff. And it was a bit, like, intense. But I made people cry. And I'll be honest, that is my proudest achievement to date. That I invoked such emotion from people.
Do you have a copy of this poem still?
I have tried to find a copy of it, and I don't have it.
It was published, I think. Was it called The Cuck Tree? I think I've read it.
And they let you perform that in front of other children and the parents and guardians.
So it's like year 9, and they kind of ask people to read it out as part of like a read out your homework type thing. It's like they went around the class asking people, and then people would like critique it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, there was about 3 or 4 people that started crying. I was like, alright, calm down, it's not about you.
I also wrote a poem in year 9 about the kid who sat next to me, who was called James. He had very soft hair, people liked to stroke it, so it was mostly about that, about his hair.
Mm-hmm.
But kept referring to him as Little Jimmy as well, and this was the same year that the stories about Jimmy Savile broke. So, the teacher reading it was obviously under the impression that this was a poem about stroking Jimmy Savile's hair and about how lovely and silky it was. So it just said, the only comment I got on it was odd in red pen and then underlined about 5 times.
I'll be honest, I thought that was going to be a dig about me.
No.
I wasn't sure
that was like going to be.
That would be mean. You sing pretty low about the girl and that, so I didn't think I'd. No, that'd be horrible.
I'll be honest, I was like quite. For the age as well, I was quite deeply in love with that girl. For what I thought love was at that age. And yeah, it hurt. It hurt being like. Having my best friend date her who was like. A massive virgin.
I mean, this was.
But, I mean, it was year nine, so.
So
that's what, 13 years old. Maybe I might want to rephrase that one. He was definitely not ready for a relationship.
Sure, this isn't jealousy seeping through into your judgment.
Oh, it definitely was. It was definitely jealousy, and there was a whole verse on jealousy. Like this was like a 6-7 verse thing.
A fucking Norse saga or something.
I've got like a published poem, and this other one was a fucking better version, a better poem than that. It was amazing, and it genuinely, like, the comment on the that the teacher wrote was genuinely made me cry.
I want to hear it now.
Yeah,
you so do I.
You have
bring
to
it
find
in
this
next week.
Yeah, you've got a week off. Just spend.
I don't think I have the textbook anymore.
You fucking wanker.
I'll message the teacher and see if she took a copy. Because I think she kept our books. For some weird reason.
How are you going to message the teacher?
You taught me 12 years ago.
Oh, no, it's fine. Like, I've messaged a couple of old teachers and they fucking love me. Because I was like a teacher's pet all the way through school. So, I'll see if she has a copy or not. I don't think she will, but we'll double check. It was fucking great, honestly.
I'm sure it is, I just want to hear it.
I will try and
year
find.
Year 4, I played... I had two roles in the Nativity. My first role, the one that I auditioned for, was Pontius Pilate. And there were, like, two lines. I had to dress up as a Roman. I had to be like, fine, if you want to kill Jesus, you can kill Jesus. Just go away, get out of my hair. Which is his role in the Bible. I wasn't aware enough of comedy at the time to not pronounce the R's as W's, like in Life of Brian. But the second role was of Joseph. That must have been in two different plays, because Jesus doesn't die in the Nativity. He's born. But yeah, I also was meant to play Joseph because the kid who auditioned for Joseph didn't come in, and I swear to God, for a year, and then he came back in for the Nativity. I knew all the lines, was holding hands with the girl who played Mary. I was living at large. I was a star right up until the end of the dress rehearsal. I had the outfit. And the day comes, he turns up, he's reading the lines on a piece of paper, they let him do it. I'm playing a little donkey or something. Absurd. Disgrace.
That is...
Anyway, that's quite
tragic as well.
The papers
are really harsh on him. Yeah. No one rated him. I think got like 2 stars in The Guardian or something. No good.
I like the way you had paper reviews.
Fucking hell.
Of course we didn't. It's the second joke you just completely missed out on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the fact that I've drank quite a bit at this point. I'm going to miss a lot of social cues. But, as a weird note, like, every year, our Mary and Joseph at like primary school level was always played by like reception. Like you'd always have like reception kids that played Mary and Joseph. Just because they typically didn't have any lines or anything. But every year you'd kind of have like a similar play on the same story where you'd have like basically 3 wise men, 3, what were the other ones? Kings or something?
Shepherds.
Those are the same characters.
Yeah, the kings are the ones. Well,
three shepherds then. But yeah, you basically had the same formula every time. It would be slightly weirder. Like, I think the last one I did was like a puzzle where people had to find the meaning of Christmas, and they had to like search like different areas for the puzzle pieces, and they had to have dialogues with like three people to get the puzzle pieces. Yeah, and I was always one of those three people every time. I would have fucking loved to be in Jungle Run.
We've had this as well. We can't talk about Jungle Run. All
right, well, let's not talk about Jungle Run then.
I once played the Raven. Bat in there we go. The Nativity. You say Raven. We already did Raven that same episode.
Was Jungle Run the one on the island?
Stop talking about Jungle Run. We've done it. It was on an island, I had to go into each level and get a golden monkey or something. I could get silver ones as well, but yeah, less prizes for it.
And then
Stop talking about Jungle Run.
At the end, they had to... what about? Oh, fuck! What's the adult version called?
This is just
Crystal Maze. There we go.
The Crystal Maze.
We haven't spoken about Crystal Maze and the weird bald guy. The weird bald guy as well.
Why is he weird?
In the original, he was well weird.
Crystal Maze. Oh, I've not seen the original.
He seemed a bit intense.
I think he's sardonic and charismatic, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's weird.
It's a weird combination.
But I don't despise people who are different, James. Maybe you should think about that.
I mean, I don't, but he was very weird. I think his intensity was what put me off of him.
He does look like a magician, is what I'm getting from him now.
It's Wilma, right?
I wouldn't say that's weird necessarily. He looks like a magician, though.
I just heard that.
Just heard what?
GA's suggestion of the name.
I didn't hear it. It cut out halfway through. I thought you said Chris.
I can't.
Is that what you said?
No, Wilma.
I don't know that one.
Wilma! Wilma, nuts fit in your mouth!
Oh, fuck's sake. You wanted to talk about Crystal Maze then, James. Do you have anything to say about it, or were you just thinking of TV shows at random? He's left. He's left.
He's gone for a piss.
I think he's gone for a piss.
Yeah.
How did the old guy compare to Richard Iowardi? Because I only watched like one or two episodes.
I like Richard Iowardi more, but I feel like people will always prefer the old one because it was the old one. It's like if Ian Sterling hosted a new Bamzuki, people wouldn't be having it. Even if he brought Hacker with him or his half-brother Dodge. I think I would like it less if his half-brother Dodge came along, because I never liked him.
I always thought that Dodge was an excuse to make a double act where Hacker could hold his own. I mean, Hacker never...
I was always
under
the impression... Hacker did speak.
No, I was just going to say, he didn't speak about that many different topics. Like, you know how we said Hitler, cars, and Jake Humphries? Hacker was meat-paste Wigan, and Wigan was only ever after meat-paste, usually. He'd say, and I'm from Wigan. and then dog stuff.
Subarka as well.
Subarka. So if we merge Wigan and meat paste, which I think is a fair enough thing to do, then he only talks about three things. And he had a chat show. He'd just have them on and ask them about Wigan.
Hacker time.
It was a really good show.
Yep.
From what I remember.
Clips. With clips from YouTube.
Yeah, it was a clip show as well, wasn't it?
but also interviews, but only interviews with people from CBBC, and I think one time Sue Barker.
Yeah, I wonder if Sue Barker actually appreciated Hacker's obsession, or if she thought it was a bit stalkery, but was contractually obliged to...
Especially on a kids' show. Odd.
Yeah, a whole generation of people who don't really watch tennis.
I think despite being creepy and quite two-dimensional, Hacker was still a far better character than Dodge. Oh, I was under the impression that Dodge was introduced because the puppeteer for Hacker and the voice actor for Hacker was not always available. It's the same guy. So what is Dodge for? Dodge is just Hacker, but he sometimes talks about being from the streets and sometimes talks about stealing. Which, bad role model for the kids. Mm. Boring, boring, boring.
And as far as I'm aware, they didn't discourage him either.
I think his name was Oucho, the cactus.
Oucho, yeah.
Mexican cactus, hence O. And ouch, because you touch a cactus, it hurts. Mm-hmm. He didn't really speak, apart from in, like, broken Mexican.
I don't think he spoke any English. I think it was all nonsense.
Well, never spoke intelligibly.
Yeah.
But still a more interesting character than Dodge, and I would venture to say Hacker as well.
I agree.
Maybe Dodge was invented to kind of reinforce the Hacker character. So because Dodge is probably, so shit, Hacker seems amazing.
I think I probably appreciated Hacker more after they introduced Dodge, yeah, because I was quite resentful of Hacker for upstaging Dodge. Never felt that way towards Ian Sterling for replacing Ed, but Hacker, yeah, I definitely had some resentment towards Hacker.
Yeah, you were never watching for the people, though, really. You were watching for the puppets.
Mm.
They were the straight man, and the puppet was the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck did we end up on this?
Because you kept naming random TV shows, so obviously we eventually got on
we
to...
We told you to start. They weren't
random. They were strategic, like, quiz shows, basically. Or challenge shows, if you really want to...
We told you to stop talking about Jungle Run, but you carried on. Now I don't know what Crystal we were talking Maze. About.
Would you say Jungle Run is better than Crystal Maze, though?
Yeah, I wouldn't watch Crystal Maze.
I would say so, yeah.
I like the different zones, though.
Yeah, but that's just like the levels from Jungle Run.
Yeah, there was a little map that they used to go on, I think. So they'd be like, oh, we're going to the waterfalls now, and then they'd go to the waterfalls.
And they'd run.
Yeah, but Crystal Maze is exactly the same, except you have the same four different zones. I think it was industrial.
Yeah, but when you're comparing them, you can't say, oh, I like that one, it's got zones. That was the point.
No, but I like the end game. I like the end game more in Jungle Run.
I don't remember what the end game was in Jungle Run.
Jungle Run's end game was like you had to collect a certain amount of coins or something. And no, you had different times based on the two teams.
No, it was... So there was like three doors. The first one, I think, was maybe a ruby monkey. No, I think that's the small ones. I think it was just like a bronze monkey, which was some sort of puzzle. Then I think the second one was a jigsaw puzzle that you had to do in a certain amount of time for the silver one. And I can't remember what the gold one was.
I do remember that, yeah.
But I think the collecting coins was a different show. Or if it wasn't, then I've seen a similar show that ends with coin collecting.
Oh, I'm thinking about a different show then, because that show was better, in my opinion.
Would that you knew what it was called.
I think I know what he's talking about, and that one was very, very Crystal Maze-esque with the challenges that they put on.
It was a better version of the Crystal Maze, in my opinion.
And it was on.
It was
an
like
island,
the Crystal Maze with a better ending.
It was.
Yeah.
Island children's TV show, game show. I think it was maybe
was
in a
it
prison.
Scorpion
or something.
Island.
Scorpion Island. I think that's it.
Scorpion Island. Yeah. That best show I've ever seen. My best like quiz show.
Were there quiz two monkeys show. Trying to disrupt you when you were doing the challenges? Because there wasn't Jungle Run.
There's nah, this is better than Jungle Run.
And they'd throw bananas at you.
As a show, I think Jungle Run might have been better, but as a game show, I think this was better. Scorpion Island was better.
I'm not sure if this is the game I was thinking of. They aren't mentioning collecting one coins at the end. Fort Boyard.
I think it is Scorpion Island. That's it.
Fort Boyard Ultimate Challenge. That's it. It was a sort of like prisony thing, I think.
No memory of that.
Odyssey was a great show. It was like two teams that basically did challenges against each other to gain time on the other one at the end game, where they had to create like, where they had to gather as much cash as coins as possible to put into their little hole thing. But the coins were in like different obstacles.
Yeah.
And they had to get it back. Yeah.
It was a very good
Honestly,
show.
Honestly, great show. I'd probably rewatch now.
If we're going to try and record another episode tonight, I think we have to try and wrap up soonish. So I don't know. Can definitely. We just leave it there with a description of Fort Boyard?
What have we talked about? It's I don't think we've covered anything.
We did my alcohol segment, which is good enough, which lasted like a full 10-15 minutes.
Next week, let's design a rip-off of the Crystal Maze.
Let's do it.
And that's It'll what we're rubbish. We're saying that's where we're going with it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to just say it and end the episode on it. It would be so fun doing the next one.
I mean, I'm going to end it there because Jake's finish on let's make a rip-off of the Crystal Maze next episode is a great way to finish it.
Yeah, but I've got to do it.
I think it'll be easy.